Thank you for joining me again today. For the last couple of weeks here on God Is, I have been sharing with you that God is our rest. We're walking along the pages of the Bible with Jesus all summer long, and thus far we have learned that God is merciful and God is our rest. At the end of today's broadcast, I will tell you what's next. But as we finish this series, I'm taking 2 days, yesterday and today, to answer some very practical questions about being properly rested in the wildly busy life that most of us live. How can God be our rest when we are so tired in what feels like all the time? Last time I was able to answer a couple of questions that I received, and today I want to take on a few more. And let's begin with this one that I can answer briefly. In a series on rest, how come you didn't bring up Sabbath and God resting on the seventh day in the book of Genesis? I'll tell you why. Certainly that would have been beneficial to discuss, and we can always do that at some future time. But I wanted to focus on Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, and I only have so much time. So that in order to keep us on our journey with Jesus, and to stay focused and to move at a certain pace for the series, I left out both Old and New Testament teaching on the Sabbath. Yes, I know Jesus dealt with this also, but alas, we did not. But again, we can do so in the future. Here's another question. Worldly wisdom says that in order to feel more rested, I need to be committed to eating a better diet and exercising. That's also what my doctor told me. But is this even in the Bible? Yes. This is good advice, and yes, this is in the Bible. I definitely agree that there's a strong link between rest, diet, and exercise. I know there is in my life. But for many of us, this is a real struggle. It is for me. Not only is it hard for us to find time and motivation to eat well and to exercise, but also we think that if we commit the time to these, that will actually rob us of rest, because it lengthens our day and gives us more stuff that we've got to do. For example, we all know that buying vegetables and a lean protein and coming home to cook it is healthier than the dollar menu at McDonald's. But which is easier and quicker? And if I could just add, which tastes better? I mean, really, it's Mickey D's. Daniel is an example of a person in the scripture who was refreshed, renewed and better rested with a diet of water and vegetables and no liquor. Let me read Daniel chapter 1 in verses 8, 12, 13, and 15. This is from the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 1 and verses 8, 12, 13, and 15. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank, and so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. And then verse 15, Daniel 1, verse 15. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Now, the Bible is not saying that you must only eat vegetables and drink water starting this weekend for the next however long. But that certainly wouldn't hurt us to try for a while. The point is this, when Daniel ate well, he looked better, much healthier than the boys who did not eat well and drank the wine. Wine is high in sugar, for example. But I think he slept better too. The same is true for us. When we improve our diet, then we digest our food more easily and we are not bloated and we're less irritable. There was a time in my life when I weighed close to 190 pounds. At 5 feet 7 inches tall. Now that I weigh closer to 160 pounds, I can personally tell you that I sleep better and feel better. Because I am eating far less comfort food, I lost the weight. Now I've got added energy to meet the demands of my day. But what about exercise? Yes, again. Exercise is strongly related to rest. Now, when it comes to daily disciplined exercise, I must be honest, I need a lot of improvement here. I just do not enjoy exercise. Now, I know, some of you love it. You just came back from the gym where you sweat yourself happy, or you went for a run on the beach. Your attitude reminds me of the Christian missionary Eric Little. The famous film Chariots of Fire is in part about his life. Referring to God, he said, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." So while charging around the track, Speedy Eric felt God's pleasure. But how many times while running have I thought, how come when I run, all I feel is my pain? I just do not enjoy it. And yes, I struggle deeply to fit it into my schedule. But when I do it, ironically, I have more energy. I really do. Don't you? It's something about endorphins. The sports fanatics among us can explain it later. But is there anything about the benefits of exercise for our rest in the Bible? Yes. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." What is the Apostle Paul saying to Timothy? Bodily discipline, like exercise, is of profit. It is. Now, it is not of greater profit than godliness. Why? Godliness is of greater profit than physical exercise because of how long it lasts. Exercising your body is for here and now, your life on planet Earth. But to be Christ-like, to be godly, lasts for an eternity. Heaven, the eternal home of the godly, never ends, whereas this life, healthy or unhealthy, will end. And the godless will not be in heaven. And if you read Paul in context, you'll see that he makes many references to training the physical body, and he writes about our bodies as being the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so, yes, your medical doctor is correct. If you have a healthy diet and if you exercise regularly, you will feel better rested. Now, let me slip in another question here before I tell you what's coming up next week on God Is. The final question, is there anything else that you think we can do to find rest? And please make this advice practical, Mark. Sure, there are many things we can do to improve our rest in God. Let me give you a couple of examples. And the first, I understand, is completely countercultural, but it's significant. Read. That's right. I said it. Read. And by read, I mean books. Read constantly. This will stimulate your brain. It'll get you thinking. And it doesn't only have to be Christian books or boring nonfiction. This is the summer, so get a hold of a really good novel. Take it to the beach or on vacation with you. Read on the train. Read on the plane. Read on the bus. Read in the bathroom, and while you wait for food at a restaurant, and read while you cook. Read everywhere, all the time. Download it to your mobile device or pop into the local library and borrow it. Now, make it an edifying read. No trash. But I read all the time, and I find it rests me. And of course, nothing will rest you like the Bible. So before you read anything else, read God's Word. Here's another one. Be curious. Stimulate your mind by taking an interest in the world around you. For example, I recently got curious about ants when in conversation with an exterminator. So ants, the pest, not your mother's sister. So what did I do? I bought a book to read about how ants function. And you know what? It's fascinating, with a capital F. That little creature is incredibly intelligent. And ants function in community like Christians should in the churches. And here is a third practical idea that I alluded to the other day when we saw Jesus asleep on the boat. Take a nap. That's right, close your eyes and take 5 to 10 minutes to snooze. And along these lines, take a break mid-morning or mid-afternoon amidst your work. Use that time to pray or go for a walk outside. Often what I will do is set my alarm to work on something for 2 hours. But when the alarm sounds, I get up from behind the desk and intentionally take a break. I go get a glass of water, take a look out the window, check to see if the Red Sox won again. Aren't they impressive thus far? The point is this. If you are pushing really hard all the time at home or at work, at school, volunteering, at church, whatever you are doing, you've got to build in some rest times. There are a lot of many healthy, God-honoring ways to rest, and my prayer for you today and every day is that you will know that God is your rest and that only in Him will you find the rest that you need. In fact, let me pray for you now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you have taught us in this series. You're our master teacher. We sit at your feet and learn. Oh, so many of us are weary. Thank you for providing to us the rest that we can never provide to ourselves, spiritual rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. That's spiritual rest. And thank you for physical, mental, and emotional rest. As we read in Mark and in the other Gospels, you care for us as whole persons. Every aspect of who we are, you love and provide for. Well, we love you. We praise you. And I pray for every person listening to me that we will receive our rest from you. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of another week. I hope that you enjoy this weekend. And when you come back to God Is on Monday, here's what I want to explore with you. God is our confidence. God is our confidence. We're going to stay in the Gospels right at the start of the New Testament and learn how we can be confident people. Learn how we can be confident people if we will receive our confidence from God. Jesus will once again be our teacher. There are a lot of you lacking in confidence, and so I want to address this coming up on God Is, and that series begins this coming Monday, so please be with us. As for today, I want to thank you for being with me, and I hope that knowing that God is our rest will be a blessing in your life. If so, send me an email this weekend and tell me that it's been. And this will be repeated in a moment, but my email address is mark@markaswallow.com. And remember then to join me again on Monday, for God is...